Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down our top five heroines and soaps. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Counting down our top five heroines and soaps, this topic was suggested to us by East West, who also suggested the top five heroes. We had some fun with the heroes. Now we're going to discuss the ladies. Jamie, why don't you go first this time?
Ladies with an attitude. Fellas that were in the mood. Oh, sorry. Harley Davidson Cooper is my number five. In the whole time that I've been watching Guiding Light, 1990-ish to now, Harley was, well, not the man, the woe man. She was the bomb. This girl has done everything from helping Alan Michael get his trust fund from Evil Aunt Alex to then one day helping Aunt Alex vote, you know, Philip and Alan out of the company. She took over Spalding. She was a super cop that actually did kind of solve some cases here and there. Harley was just awesome. You know, I miss Harley, love Harley. One of my favorite Harley moments was when, and it was so wrong what was going on, but they were in San Cristobal, which is an island that, a tropical island that actually has mountains and blizzards and snowstorms, and Philip and Beth's plane crashed and they were presumed basically dead, and the people at the palace weren't going to help. They just said it was no use, and it was a rare moment where Harley and Alan teamed up, and Alan was like, you're going to listen to my daughter-in-law, and he hated Harley, so that was just awesome. And you know, she got the rescue team up there, even though she didn't know her man was banging his skank of an ex-wife and impregnating her with a baby at the time. But Harley was the quintessential single mom. She protected her kids from, you know, Alan, from Philip. She protected Philip's other wimpy wives who couldn't stand up to him, even though, you know, they'd caused her problems in her relationship.
And she knew how to fold a mean load of laundry and pay those terrible
bills. Well,
She'd pay no bills, but...
Just like the last year of Another World, where they were putting babies in a tree and sending people back in time, I tend not to think about Harley's last year on the show, because I just want to it's like when someone dies, you just want to remember them when they were awesome. And yeah, so yeah, the dismantling of Harley that was done in the year or so, you know, her last year, notwithstanding, she is still one of daytime's greatest heroines. So that's my number five.
Nikki, who do you have at number five?
Well, my number five, I always gotta, you know, once again represent Passions. So I'm gonna say Teresa from Passions. Basically, I mean, I don't remember Teresa doing anything, you know, all and out heroic, I guess, like, in the terms of jumping in front of bullets and all that kind of thing. But she was always, granted, yes, she had some self-absorbed things when it came to Ethan, but she was always doing stuff to help her friends and her family, and she generally just kicked ass. I mean, she brought herself to the top of Crane Industries, and, you know, she was always making sure that she was making life better for her kids and that she had her kids, you know, because Gwen was always trying to take those kids away from her. And she's, you know, she just basically didn't sit down and take things. She stood up for herself and for those that she loved, and that makes her heroic to me. So that's my number five.
Coming in at number five for me is Anna Devane. Pre Noah Drake, or whatever the hell the singer counterpart is. Because I have to say, haven't been that impressed with the character at when she fell in love with the rocker. It didn't make sense to me. But everything prior to that, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed her. The fact that you could have her sliding down ropes from the ceiling of her daughter's home when she arrives. And the fact that this is a woman who can do a karate chop and be investigating the mob and doing all this other stuff and end up on islands and to save her husband and his wayward friend. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Jamie, who do you have at number four?
You skipped me.
Oh, sorry. Melody. Melody, who do you have at number five?
Number five, I have Carly Tinney from As the World Turns, because of the fact that she doesn't half-ass do anything. If she's going to do something, she's going to do it all the way, and it's going to get done, and that's just very hero to me. So, and, I mean, who's her counterpart? G.I. Jack himself. So, that's Carly.
Great pick. I don't have her on my list. I couldn't rationalize it for myself, but I'm glad you were able to.
Yay.
Jamie, who do you have?
My number four is Eden Capwell Castillo from Santa Barbara. Eden is just one of those classic soap heroines. She, you know, a lot of times, of course, she played the damsel in distress for Cruz, but she was also a very strong heroine in one storyline in particular where Mason was trying to oust her as the head of Capwell Enterprises, and he was trying to make the point, the case to his dad that, you know, because Eden was a wife now and a mother, that she wouldn't make a good executive. And she walked in and basically said a line about, gee, what's that I feel in my back, a knife? I mean, you know, Eden was a balls to the walls character, and I loved that they made her a smart corporate executive. You know, you don't see that anymore with the females in daytime. I mean, Lily took over freaking worldwide and she lost the damn company. You know, it's just like, you know, but Eden was smart. She ran a hotel. She helped Cruz, you know, beat the bad guys. And, you know, she faced down Kirk Cranston several times. He threw Eden and Cruz in a shark pit and, you know, they survived that. I mean, she was just awesome. She survived rape, and I mean, she survived witnessing her mother have sex with Lionel Lockridge, although it caused her to morph into two different personalities, one being her dead brother Channing, who shot her mother Sophia. But hey, I mean, what good soap heroine doesn't have multiple personality disorder, you know? So we can't hold that against her. My number four is Eden Capwell Castillo.
Nikki, who do you have at number four?
My number four is actually your number five, which is Anna Devane from General Hospital. Basically, the woman kicks ass. And even at that concert, you know, those guys came up and she, like, took out three guys by herself. And then, you know, she's sitting there recently hacking into the government to steal secrets to help save Robert's life. And, okay, yes, it's kind of a cartoonish, hero-ish type thing, but she's just, you know, super chick. So, that's my number four.
Okay. Melody, who do you have at number four?
Okay, this is, like, blasphemous for me, and I can't help myself, but it's just true. My number four is Harley Cooper from Guiding Light.
Wow.
I'm sorry. She's just, wow. Okay, pre-Cyrus and Marina, pre-everything, all of that. Like Jamie said, she was the heroine of the show. She just was. Like, before the whole Cyrus thing went down, I loved Harley. She was just, oh, God, that character. Okay, not the point, but like you said, whatever, it's just, Harley was going to save the day. Harley was it, for all the reasons Jamie explained. I was just nodding my head.
Hear my Brenda giggle.
Oh, I'm going to get it for that one. Oh.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Never.
I'm just here to teach these kids every day. That's what I'm here for.
Well, if necessary, Jamie will be more than happy to take and defend you.
Huh?
Actually, I think that we'll just hide behind him because they'll be so busy pounding on him they won't even notice us.
Coming in at number four for me is Margot Hughes from As the World Turns, because she is daytime's top female cop, and she knows how to use that gun. If anybody saw her holding that gun on Emily in her panties, you know that
I thought All My Children was doing the lesbian storyline.
You know that Margo has a gun and knows how to use it. Like Bo Buchanan on the Top 5 Heroes podcast, she is one of the few cops in daytime that actually solves crimes and doesn't do a half bad job at it. I don't know what else to say. I just, when I think of a female heroine, she was one of the first that came to mind. Jamie, who do you have at number 3?
My number 3 is Hope Williams Brady from Days of Our Lives. This is my girl. Hope is one of the few smart cops. I think she's smarter than her husband and brother-in-law these days, which makes it suck for me that they basically write her and Kayla as hand-wringing coffee servers these days. But Hope, really, I don't have a lot of memories of her solving a lot of cases, but Hope was just always pretty swift, and she always got herself into trouble, which Bo genuinely had to get her out of. But, you know, she did help him take down the dragon, and she was always on to that nasty Billy Reed. And, you know, and I say, and let me preface that, I mean Krista Allen's version and Julie Pinson's version. So I love Julie Pinson, but Billy just didn't, she wasn't the character I fell in love with Lisa Rinna after Lisa left. She, you know, they wrote her as, you know, and James did that. James E. Reilly turned Billy into that desperate, I need a man, the penis was so good, I lost my mind type character that he tended to favor. And, you know, so I loved Hope's battles with Billy, and she's just, you know, Hope is, and could still be. I mean, Hope is like, Hope frustrates me just like the writing for Anna Devane frustrates me, because this is an industry for women, and they could really make it really, I mean, look at the Janet Ivanovich novels and all these novels, I mean, you know, these smart heroine women that are like making a killing in other mediums, but, you know, in daytime we want hand-wringing coffee servers. But anyway, Hope is my number 3 for what she was and what she could be.
Melody, who do you have at number 3? Nikki?
I think Nikki wants to go.
Nikki, who do you have at number 3?
Okay, well, my number 3 started out as a villainess and then grew into, well, I don't know if she's really a heroine, but she's done some pretty cool stuff. So that would be Kendall Hart Slater and All My Children. And the reason why I say this is, you know, A, when Bianca was raped and then killed Michael Cambius, Kendall did everything in her power to basically, you know, sway it away from her and to save her sister. And then, you know, she, granted, it did turn out being her and Ryan's baby, but she, you know, she offered to be, you know, the surrogate for Greenlee and Ryan's baby, which is pretty huge, being the fact she was, Ryan's like one of the loves of her life. So, and then she, what else did she do? She didn't want, you know, well, I don't know if she was conscious during the time, but she would have given up her life in order for Spike to be born, you know, healthy, when they wanted to deliver him before, you know, he was ready, and Zach like locked himself in the room with her and all that. But she's done, you know, a lot of stuff for her family and her friends that was, you know, maybe not totally legal, but, you know, it was all out of loyalty and concern for them. And so I think that makes her a heroine in my book.
Screw legality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Sounds good. Moving on.
But with a condom.
There you go. Kevlar preferably. Melody, who do you have at your number 3?
At number 3, I have Vicki Buchanan from One Life to Live. I haven't been watching One Life to Live that long, but I already get that heroine vibe from Vicki. Like, she's just like the person that's, you know, is just going to save something. Like, right now in the whole test storyline, like, you know Vicky's the one that's going to come in and save Natalie and Jared, and she's just going to be her. So, I have Vicki.
Coming in at number 3 for me is a character that most would probably not, consider to be a heroine. But I have her on my list because of the fact that she had what I consider to probably be the best, one of the best storylines in recent memory, and best cancer storylines, that is. And that's Felicia on The Bold and the Beautiful. I was so impressed by that storyline in terms of the other cancer storylines that were going on at the same time. Kim Zimmer did a great job, but Kim Zimmer always does a good job. But Leslie Kay did an absolute awesome job on this storyline. She went all out for it and did what it took to tell an honest story of dealing with cancer. And sometimes it's the little things. So, I mean, the cancer survivors are just as much of a hero as the person who rescues someone from death, or in the case of Jason Morgan, shoots their lead all over town. And so for me, I
only in Liz,
I chose Felicia and, from The Bold and the Beautiful, and primarily because of her cancer storyline. Jamie, who do you have at number two?
My number two is a tie. It is Jennifer Horton Devereaux from Days of Our Lives and Robin Scorpio from General Hospital. Jennifer Horton is, ugh, my God. It's almost like if I had to pick, if I had to save Jennifer or Hope when they were hanging off of a building, God, it would be so hard because they're both like my favorite heroines right up there with Vicki Hudson. And Jennifer, though, I loved because I am a reporter. That's the world. I have to say, Jennifer, like Lois Lane and Lois and Clark and Jack and Jennifer, they probably made me go into journalism. Yeah, really over-glamorized it, guys. It's not like that. But Jennifer was like this investigative reporter that was always, you know, investigating the toxic dumping at the Kiriakis Enterprises and all this, you know, whatever was going on in Salem, the Salem serial killers. Jennifer was there with her, you know, trusty microphone getting in the way of the investigation, and I just love that. But her most heroic endeavor was basically saving Jack Devereaux from himself, because Jack had – he was drowning in self-loathing after raping Kayla, which rightfully so, and feeling like he was damaged goods because his father who raised him, his adopted father, was – you know, by day a wealthy senator and by night a sadistic serial killer who was the sin stalker. And then finding out that his biological father, Duke Johnson, wasn't much better. He'd raped his own daughter, Adrian, and, you know, treated all of the kids like crap. That's why Jack had to be put up for adoption. And, you know, Jack had – both of his fathers were dead, but their ghosts used to come back and torment him every time he was trying to be a good man. And I've told this story before, but Jennifer fell in love with Jack, and he pushed her away because he didn't think he was worthy of love, and she made him believe he was worthy of love. And that was just one of the most awesome love stories I've ever seen in soaps, and it was so beautiful and well-written and comedic, and they were witty, and, you know, it just – you know, we don't see – I see glimpses of that in Maxie and Spinelli, even though there's not the whole rape undercurrent, but I do see that comedic, awesome vibe, and, you know, I would love to see more of that on daytime. I see it a little bit with Henry Coleman and Katie – when they were, you know, doing their hijinks. But, yeah, so Jennifer Horton is part of my number two. The other part is a more serious role, Robin Scorpio. And Robin, simply because HIV, back when Robin got HIV, was pretty much still considered a death sentence. She had just lost her greatest love, you know, from HIV, well, AIDS, and, you know, at the time, she thought her parents had died. I mean, if for anyone who, I mean, should have had a reason to just give up on life, it would have been Robin Scorpio. But she braved it. She found love again with Jason. And, you know, she called that evil Carly on everything she was doing. Even when Dr. Tony Jones went nuts and kidnapped her and kept her away from her HIV meds and almost made her get sick. You know, she begged for Jason not to hurt him, even though Jason broke his surgical hand. But, you know, she tried. But, yeah, Robin is just awesome. And she went on to become a doctor and is just living her life and showing people, you know, that you can live your life with HIV. And, you know, she bravely chose to become a mother, which, you know, was a highly controversial decision. I don't think GH really dealt with that very well, because I would have loved to have seen them really have some, you know, Tracy Quartermain or someone be shocked that, because I mean, it would be shocking. I mean, I think that soaps, in their attempt to be politically correct, sometimes forget that a lot of these issues would shock middle America, and maybe they need to have somebody that's like, wow, that's kind of selfish for you to even make that risk. Even though, you know, they've driven home the point that the risk is minimal, some people would argue that any risk of giving a child HIV is not worth having the child. But, you know, I mean, that's neither, they didn't play it like that, but, you know, she did make the brave choice for her life to have a baby. And, you know, I think Robin is a very heroic and one of the few unique characters in daytime, because of her, both her parents passed and because of her, you know, having this real life disease in the midst of all this fictional, you know, craziness. You know, I mean, yeah, there's the mob and there's this and that, but GH every day is telling a story about a woman living with a disease that still affects so many people. So those are my number two, Jennifer and Robin. The PSA is over.
Nikki?
My number two is actually a three-way tie of the super cop females of daytime, which is Hope Brady of Days of Our Lives, Margot Hughes of As the World Turns, and, yes, Flay Me Alive Harley and Guiding Light.
Whoa!
I would just like to point out that if you have not yet listened to our Fan Wars episode, I would encourage you to go back and do so.
This is before Cyrus and Marina. We're talking about Harley before everything with Cyrus and Marina.
Yes, we're talking Harley pre the last year she was.
Can I do my Alexis? Can I do my Alexis?
No.
Judge, can I talk? I would just like the court to note that I don't have any history with Marina that would have made me put her on any list, not even a grocery list. But my Harley is on both of y'all's list.
You know what? I am taking you out of the witness protection program. I'm putting you in the middle of Central Park, and I'm setting them loose on your ass.
Your witness, counselor. Marina don't make my list.
You're on my list, but not the list you probably want to be on. Anyways.
Maybe I'm Tabitha. I cast a spell and made y'all put Harley on your list.
Moving on. Ooh. The reason why they're on my list is women in that type of role is pretty damn impressive, because it's hard to, for a woman to, you know, become a cop, let alone be a respectable and good cop. And all three of these women kicked ass and took names and, you know, saved lives. And so that's why they're on my list. Now, Jamie, if you ever want to speak to me again, drop it.
Okay. He won't.
I don't drop anything, but no.
Granted, you know what? Forget that. I'm going to make this a four-way tie. I'm putting Marina on there, too.
Okay.
That's like making some characters some lesbians because ABC was going to do it.
You did. Yeah, you just totally undermined your entire list. Mel, who do you have at number two?
I have the super cop herself, Margot Hughes. For the reasons everyone's mentioned. Margo's going to get a case, she's going to solve it, and she's going to jump in and save the day. It's like Margo's storylines, you just wait for the moment. She's going to jump in with her gun, and she's going to get that bad guy, and she's going to save the day. So, Miss Supercop, Margot Hughes.
Okay, well, on the Top 5 Heroes episode, I had my Legal Eagle hero, superhero pick. So on the Top 5 Heroines, I have one as well. That would be Alexis Nancy Lee Grand on General Hospital. If we're going to be using eras, I'm going to say pre-boinking Sunny, because it seemed like her legal skills went downhill after that, because apparently once you have sex with Sunny, you no longer can win a case in court. Prior to sleeping with Sunny, Alexis won practically every legal case she was ever on. She saved her family countless times. She saved the Quartermains a couple of times. She was the gatekeeper for the Cassadines, just as Ned was for the Quartermains. To me, she is a hero. Jamie, who do you have at number one?
My number one is Vicky Hudson from Another World.
Okay, that's Vicky, my number one as well, so we'll just cover them both at once.
Okay. For me, starting out, a lot of what Vicky did, which was considered villainy, was what made her heroic to me. I mean, this is a girl who came to town to steal her sister's inheritance and use the fact that she donated her bone marrow to save her life to basically rub it in the family's face that they'd cast her off. She went from that to trying to scheme Marley out of her inheritance to deciding she wanted to marry up, so she set her sights on Jamie Frame, Rachel Corrie's son, and even though he was in love with Felicia's psychic niece, Lisa Grady. So Vicky promptly got herself knocked up to steal Jamie away from Lisa, but she did it with such a delightful minx quality that it was just, you had to root for Vicky. And Matt Corrie loved her, and that was one of those things. It was kind of like the Mona loving Kendall thing, that it kind of redeemed her. You know, the rest of the Corries hated Vicky, you know, except Jamie at the time. But, you know, Mac saw something in her, and, you know, Jamie and Vicky's marriage ended up really bad, and she lost custody of Steven. But, you know, the payoff was she was able to help Iris steal the company away from the Corries. And then Vicky sort of, you know, after Anne Hesh left the show, well, first who shot Jake, she redeemed herself in with Marley, because she basically took her sister under her wing and protected her all through that whole attempted murder trial for Jake, and she sort of morphed into a heroine at that point. Then she left the show, and Jensen came on, and Jensen already had, like, great experience playing a heroine on One Life to Live, and they sort of wrote Vicky in that vein. They kept her spunky, and they kept her, like, a wise ass, but she definitely became more of a heroine. And, you know, from, you know, the affair with Grant, giving her Kirkland, and she protected Kirkland. And one of the things I used to laugh and love about Vicky Hudson is that if you tried to take her kids, she'd get ghost on you in a minute. So she would take that baby and run. She got a baby, an adopted baby, and switched it with Kirkland to make Grant think he had his son when it wasn't really his son. I mean, she would do whatever it took to protect those boys. And for that, Vicky Hudson is my number one.
And I do not have the history that you have with her early on, but that was the reason why she made my number one, was the protection of those boys. There was no better mother lion in daytime than Vicky Hudson. You did not mess with her boys, and she did what it took. And the character was just awesome, absolutely awesome. Mel, mm-hmm. Who do you have at number one? We're going to let Nikki have the last word.
Okay. My number one is Drusilla Winters from Young and the Restless, because she started off on that show as a little street rat. She couldn't even read. And she went from that to being this high-class, sophisticated woman running a line in Newman Enterprises. And she was she's such a strong character and a strong woman. And just to look like what she started off as to what she became is just screams hero to me.
I hadn't thought of her, but that's a great pick. Nikki? Still there?
Well, I'm here.
Okay, who do you have at number one?
My number one, I'm going to give it up for Miss Myrtle and all my children, for a very subtle reason. That woman could bring peace to almost any situation. You know, everybody in town respected her, and even the really evil people respected her. And yet when she while she brought peace to every situation, if she had to bring out the whole protective side, she would. And you didn't really want to mess with her. I mean, she was this little old lady, but grown men would, like, cower away from her when she'd get pissed off. And she was just, she was kind of the, like the beacon there that everybody went to when they needed to talk something out or to figure something out, or they needed, you know, a place to stay. And she was just always there for everybody in that town. So I would put her definitely as my number one.
Great, great pick, Nikki. I would have never thought of that, but I so totally see your point. Thank you so much for bringing that perspective. I guess that wraps up this episode, the top five heroines in soaps. We would encourage you to call and leave us a comment about this episode or any other episode by calling 917-677-9757. Share your top five heroes or heroines on the comment line, and we'll add them to the end of the podcast. Jamie, Mel, Nikki, as always, it's been a pleasure. Until next time, folks, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.